Welcome back to another episode, of Flixtapose. I am Jason Lacey. I'm joined by Mr. Lucas Rose.
Hey.
No, this is a Nintendo podcast, even though we both have Nintendo-esque hatwear. You changed your hat on me.
I did.
A flat cap, and now here you are with little Luigi.
I was, you know what?
Ooh. What's that that hat salesman book you read as a kid where he has all the caps and he stacks them way up on his head and then the monkeys take it?
I think it's called The Beanie King.
The Beanie King. Yeah, that's the name. Welcome to Flux to Play's Chrono Trigger episode number uno mucho grazio.
A lot of first issues coming out these days.
Right. We just want to inflate our episode count and not inflate the number count. That's how you do it. Welcome to the show. It's been a great week, hopefully, for everyone out there in podcast viewership land. I hope you're listening to this podcast as a way to escape from the craziness of our reality, because Lord knows I want to use this as a way to escape from mine own.
Oh,
as we like to say, you can join us on Discord, flexibles.com/discord, gets you the invite into the server, and we stream this here show live every Tuesday on twitch.tv/flexibles. And please, if you like what we do, by no means it's a requirement, but check out the patronage we offer to our Legion members at patreon.com/flexdepose. That is it. That's all the things I am contractually obligated to say on the show. Lucas, my friend.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. I had a rough morning. The baby woke up, as you can see in the Discord.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But thankfully, I was able to go back to sleep, and now my sleeping is all screwed up, so I am well-rested, yet...
I kind of feel your pain a little bit, because I might have stayed up a little later than usual playing handheld gaming devices in my bed before falling asleep.
Ooh, is it the handheld game device that we're going to talk about?
It was that one and the Switch, because I was like, oh, let me play this game. Then I was like, oh, let me finish this one. And then I was like, you know, I did this isn't the proper talk for what you're playing, but I was like, let me do my rounds of Animal Crossing. I was like, I'll just play Secret of Mana for 2 hours.
That's right. Yeah. You got to get it all in. You got to check in at all times.
I had a goal. I can't play two RPGs at once. You got to get rid of one of them.
It's true.
Not gonna do it. Wouldn't be proud of it.
It's too much R, too much P, and way too much G.
Too much all the things. So it's true. This is our new show format. This is our first Flux to Plays. You guys might remember other popular editions of this segment from maybe The Dig, or how about Half-Life, Black Mesa. Oh, look at that! We got a copyright claim.
That was fast.
We don't have anything else to jump into. We're just going to jump right into it. It's like, hey, look at this. It's the Flux Boys doing gaming podcasts like the good old days.
It's true.
When we said we can do it better than everyone else. And there's not a whole lot of gaming podcasts out there on the internet. So I think it's a good target demo.
What was that?
For us. I think my Ghost. Dog has a squeaky toy on the couch. And I think that.
I thought it was a child.
I think that went off. It better not be a child, because then I have ghost children. And you don't want ghost children.
I would like to state that, for the record, that we're mixing up. I mean, we've always done it this way a little bit, but we always talk a little bit about the game outside of our experience. And
yes, especially in the first episode.
Exactly. So in this first episode, I think we're going to do a little deep dive of the history and the making of Chrono Trigger. And then we will continue into other categories that we will tell you about when the time comes.
I'm happy how quickly this escalated, because for first we're like, you know, maybe we should, you know, I kind of want to, we're like, maybe we want to play Chrono Trigger. Maybe we should do our next like little gaming thing, Chrono Trigger. And they're like, I'm buying the game right now. Going on eBay.
We're doing it. I'm looking up things.
But the exciting part is, you know, we were excited about it, but then people in the community were excited about playing it too.
That's one of the coolest
people
parts,
are interested about it. So that's what's cool, is when we can get others to go down the rabbit hole with us, especially right now, because there's Doom, there's Animal Crossing, there's all these other current games that you could be playing, enjoying a bunch of shows you could be binging, and you're playing an old RPG with us.
I mean,
so that makes me happy.
I feel like that's usually how it goes for me, is like I should be playing the things I just bought or pre-ordered or been looking forward towards, and instead I'm doing some stupid backlog thing that from like 10 years ago.
Yeah, you could be playing Half-Life Alyx. Or yep. Doom.
Or Doom.
And here you are. And here you are playing Chrono Trigger.
Yeah. And maybe I'll start Mass Effect again or something.
But of all the games you could play that we're adding instead of, and I mean, it's not like you're playing, it's not like we're playing Final Fantasy 1. Okay. You're playing Chrono Trigger, which is, you know,
a little step above as far as quality.
As we like to mention
here
on the show, kind of like one of those stepping stones of greatness in video games.
It's true. This is no Netflixation version of gaming where we just pick bad things to make ourselves suffer.
Yeah. So now that we've beat around the bush for a bit, done our poor segue and kind of trailed
farted
on. Lucas,
around.
Are you ready to do a little deep dive into the history of Chrono Trigger?
Let's do it. I want to do it.
Action, 14-day lockdown. Ooh, that's brutal.
That's all you got. You could beat 14 games in 14 days. No, you couldn't.
No.
The math does not work out. Let's do it, dude.
Let's do it.
What game are we playing?
We're playing Chrono Trigger.
This beautiful... Look at this. For those audio viewers, I mean, we're showing off these... we'll talk about it, but the anime cutscenes...
The Super Nintendo didn't get that.
Damn straight it didn't.
You know, it's kind of funny how that intro, if you see that, how much it looks like Link's Awakening a bit. You got the seagulls and the ocean sounds.
The green grass. Chrono Trigger. It looks like a 90s sitcom intro.
Can you tell that the same studio that makes Dragon Ball Z did the artwork for these cutscenes? You see the influence. I don't
know,
same studio,
influence.
But some of the same artists is involved. Can you tell?
Some of the same strokes, artistic strokes. How do you feel about this intro? Not to get too deep into it, but like... You boot up the game. We booted up the game. We're not playing the original SNES. You see this. There's Piccolo for some reason. How do you feel?
God, it is Piccolo. You know, I accidentally skipped it when I first booted up the 3DS.
Oh,
but
ruined.
But, you know, I think it does. It captures the spirit well enough. And it's always, like, really cool to see when you're used to a certain medium... And to see it captured in a different form, like you're used to these little the little 2D sprites give you,
yeah,
and then you see it represent these characters represented in hand drawn animation. I think was really cool because I had this version of the game on PlayStation, mm-hmm. and I remember that was like why I got it. I was like, oh, these cutscenes are awesome.
It's just like I imagined it would be.
It's just like my Japanese anime.
It does do a good job of. I mean, I got pumped for the adventure, and what I liked about it is that, like, I remember, you remember the fight with the dragon, you remember the fight with Magus, you know, it mm-hmm. has all of the, it hits all of those moments that you really remember from the game, the skeleton warrior thing on the bridge will be coming up. So,
oh, yeah.
It does such a good job of capturing those moments and making it feel epic, like, I guess the way it would feel in your memory.
Oh, the skeleton, and then what is it? I feel like there was another the boss fight that was always shown off a lot was on the bridge again, but like that steampunky robot dragon thing.
Yeah, steampunk more so than robot, probably.
I hate that. my stream's a little bit behind because I have to watch through the restream, but I don't know. I don't really care what is being shown because the music is there and
the music is excellent.
We'll talk about that enough on its own, but it's crazy how much that alone, you don't think like how much of this game, you know, audibly, and then you hear it and then you're like, oh,
right back there.
Okay. Yeah. Just like with Link's Awakening and stuff. I mean, it's just kind of crazy. So for those uninitiated and unfamiliar, Chrono Trigger is an RPG developed and published by Square for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Lucas, do you have that original release date? Or should I just...
It's down at the bottom. We'll talk about it
okay.
in a little bit.
We're going to go do that. Okay, so
we're going to go through all the releases.
Top level, great. Yeah. Great. So we touched on the anime opening. Again, was originally added into the PlayStation version, which came in with Final Fantasy VI, which was previously unreleased in North America, I believe, which was Final Fantasy VI, which is actually... Oh, I can't even... I don't have time to give you the breakdown between what's Final Fantasy 1, 2, and 3, and what's... And how is it Japan, and the difference,
American
and why it. So
yes.
We're not even going to go through that. So Let's talk about some development of Chrono Trigger. Development team included three designers dubbed the Dream Team. Of course, I picked myself to do this segment, so I need to get to pronounce Japanese names. Hironobu Sakaguchi, creator of Square's Final Fantasy series. Yuji Horii, freelance designer and creator of Enix's Dragon Quest series. And Akira Toriyama, manga artist famed for his work with Dragon Quest and Dragon Ball.
I mean, so. That's crazy. You've got, I can see why they call it a dream team. Because,
okay, so that makes sense too, that he was involved because, okay.
Why that's, why it looks the way
so the original, yeah, and the original character portraits, everything like that, and that's why they animate. Okay, blah, blah, blah. And that makes sense. So it's always cool when you see things come together. And so I don't recall when Square, you know, they were Square, then they were Squaresoft, then Square Enix.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that, you know, we saw those entities working together long, long ago. You know, we have Enix evolved right here. I'm not familiar with too much of their past work because, as I've said on the show before, didn't have a Super Nintendo. So I didn't play any of those games.
With whose past work?
Enix. Any of their past stuff. And even Square, I wasn't until, you know, the heavy hitters. But
I remember there were some Enix games on the PC, and I feel like it was like Tomb Raider or maybe Hitman or something like that. I can't remember, but I remember like seeing that name before some PC game that I played.
Enix did Tomb Raider. Whatever.
Ah, that's what I know him for.
Yeah, the first one, and then I think Tomb Raider 2, and then I don't remember when that all happened.
We're not here to talk about companies.
I'm not here to pretend I know answers, because we both know I don't. That's true. I don't have them.
I don't have them either. Well, in addition to those lovely folks, we also had... the hell was that? Did you hear that?
Cody!
Now, my wife just drops things randomly, and I'm directly underneath her on a wooden floor. So if she drops something, it sounds like a cannon, and it happens like every night. All right, anyways. So in addition, we also have Masato Okoto, who wrote most of the story. He also worked on Ninja Gaiden series, Final Fantasy VII, Xenogears, and Chrono Cross as event planner and scriptwriter, among other games.
So he hosted all the parties.
Yeah, writing parties, where everyone wears their writing glasses and brings their typewriters and goes, story.
And smokes a lot of cigarettes.
Exactly, drinks some whiskey. What do you guys think about this dialogue? Yasunori Mitsuda composed most of the soundtrack before falling ill and deferring remaining tracks to Nobuo Uematsu. I can never say his name. Of course, the Final Fantasy series. And Mitsuda also composed other things such as Xenogears, Mario Party, interestingly enough, Chrono Cross, among other games. The Dream Team traveled to the United States to research computer graphics. And it was then that they decided that they wanted to make a game together and create something that no one had done before. So before they even started really considering what Chrono Trigger was going to be, they spent a year considering the difficulties of developing a new game.
Did you, to interject here, did you come across this when you were doing your research? And I feel like I this information is coming to me because I was looking up Secret of Mana, I was looking up Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
And I think when they first started development of one of these two games, either Chrono Trigger or Secret of Mana, they wanted combat to take place on the same screen.
Yeah. And then, that'll probably make more sense when you go further down the...
Go further. And then, like, because of that, like, one of those projects, they scrapped the one and then spun it into it became Chrono Trigger, and then Secret of Mana, I think, became
you're stealing your own thunder.
Okay.
So development started in early 1993 proper, when they actually decided, let's sit down and make a game.
Right. God, I'm sorry, I'm so screwed up. I feel like today's Sunday. Not working today has just messed up everything. Okay,
I'm sorry. That's right, you said you took time off.
Yeah, my son's birthday. Oh, hi Donnie.
So you really do have a whole dream team. I mean, even from the writing to the music, you have all these people coming together to work on a game right from the get-go, you know?
Yeah. I think we see that, you know, much in Nintendo's development of, you know, like Mario, you know, with you know, of course, Koji Kondo doing the music and the creator himself, you know, the godfather of Mario.
Yes.
I mean, so it's cool to see how things like that work in other areas and with other projects and, you know.
That doesn't happen much these days. Nowadays, they're just like, we need to make another Call of Duty. Get whoever from the talent pool.
Well,
and just.
I mean, to be fair, like game development as a whole is just this like ginormous beast, especially if we're talking AAA game development.
That's true. So. That's true. I agree.
So, Dilma, as Lucas said, started in 93, and uncredited Square employee suggested a time travel game, which Kato, however you want to go with it, the writer, opposed, fearing it would be repetitive and dull gameplay.
I don't get that.
You know, it's probably maybe the initial concept. You know, they may not have it fleshed out of how it would work, or they didn't, you know, revisiting the same areas might just seem,
oh, yeah, that
you know,
could be.
Might fall flat. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. Square intended to license the work under the Seiken Densetsu, so the Mana Secret of Mana series here, or just I should say Mana series here in North America, and give it the working title Maru Island. It was rebranded Chrono Trigger when Nintendo's Super Famicom Disk Drive was canceled and the game was reoriented for the Super NES. Now, so that's interesting that, okay, yes, because Seiken Densetsu originally came out on the Game Boy. Yes. Okay. Mm. The first game.
Yeah, there was some more stuff about this, but I didn't want to focus too much on the other stuff. So there was a little bit of that intermingled about the Mana series and what happened there.
Sure. Sure. I believe it's The Completionist. It was his channel. I got a pretty good like history. Like when I was like really digging in, I was like, okay, do I want to get collection of Mana and this and that? And I was like,
yeah.
I watched his history of the series and. And I found that to be interesting. Why are you going off, Siri?
I was going to say, was that okay, Google? Well, Mike does that too.
So the ROM cartridge is credited for enabling seamless transition to battles on the field map. So as I mentioned, that was the thing they wanted to have. You know, and that's the one unique thing you kind of see in Chrono Trigger that, you know, a lot of RPGs, you know, random encounters is always the thing, but it's usually you walking on the overworld and then you get a transition into the battle screen.
Yeah.
Chrono Trigger. The enemies are either present or they'll come out of the background or something happens and you fight them right there.
They make that
on
noise.
The same screen.
That like weird squawking noise.
Yes. Release was planned for late 1994, but it was pushed back to the following year. Upon release, Yuji Horii, designer, who was again the designer of the game, commented that the game went beyond the development team's expectations. So it's interesting, like, because I feel like I'm playing the first Prime game before that was Secret of Mana, and it's interesting like how different the two experiences are to like direct compare them, because I feel like Secret of Mana has been fun, but it definitely feels like a diluted RPG experience.
From what I remember, I haven't played much of it, but yeah, it seemed like the simpler. Like a simpler, not too deep, not too complex.
Yeah, it's much more like when the game does open up, it's just confusing because it's really hard to navigate when you can go anywhere. But it's very much just like you're constantly just going point A, point B and down the road and you don't have an opportunity to really veer off of that. You're on this predetermined path at all times, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, Lucas, we've kind of gone through and given you our rough crash course history to kind of get you a little bit behind the game. Clearly, there's going to be other people out there that can be able to give you much more information. We're here to just give you top of mind, top level information on this podcast because we all know we should not be informing anyone on anything.
Okay? It's true.
We are simple men in simple times. All right. We're just quarantined with our families.
If you really want to get into
survive.
It. You can go on YouTube and just type in Chrono Trigger retrospective and there's like 20 videos that'll pop up.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. But tell us about, you know, this is a much celebrated game that's been released many, many times on different platforms than its original Super Nintendo incarnate. What versions are out there?
So let's go over it real quick. So you have the original SNES edition, which did come out in 1995. I mean, what you said is only proof that games have been delayed since games have been around. I mean, like we talk about games being delayed now. It's always happened. So then you have the Wii Virtual Console version as well in 2011. I think I read it was like the second most popular game that people wanted to come to the Wii Virtual Console, which is basically an emulated SNES version.
Yeah, and I mean, look how many people were clamoring for it and were upset that it wasn't included on the Super Nintendo Classic.
Yeah, I know, but I can, like I said, I can see why, though. Same.
I mean, that's, we got to think it. There's a lot more parties involved. It's not a first party game. I mean, there are, yes, there are, you know, second party and third party games that are on that, but still, it's just more legalese you got to get through.
Well, and it's, I mean, it'll sell. I mean, we bought it, so why would you give it away for free or basically free?
True.
So from there on, we have enhanced ports of the game. You mentioned the PlayStation version, which came out in 1999. And the difference is in these enhanced ports that for the PlayStation one, they included anime cutscenes that we know and love now, which was created by the Toei Animation, which does a lot of anime stuff. Bonus features accessible after achieving various endings. So you had a couple of things, but then it gets really crazy. And I think this is probably the most popular
version.
Is
that like probably a new game plus modes and things like that?
They didn't explain exactly what they meant. So what that meant. So I'm not 100% sure. Maybe I'll have to Google that and see. Now, this is the version that I think a lot of people are going to be familiar with now, which is the Nintendo DS/mobile version. But the DS version came out in 2008, so almost 10 years later. And it includes everything from the PlayStation version plus a new translation, because we'll talk about this in later episodes. But the translation stuff was pretty interesting because it was sort of rushed, apparently. So it kind
localization has to be like a beast at all times.
Yeah, I think I read it was one guy.
What was that? Because remember that article I shared, gosh, forever ago on Flexibles about the one guy that had to localize Metal Gear Solid?
Oh, yeah, that's right. How? It'd be like rewriting a book by yourself. And then you give a short deadline.
It's on a one-to-one translation, so you have to interpret and kind of go in your own direction of how to
cultural change the scene and all that stuff. Everything. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Tough stuff. Dual screen mode, obviously taking advantage of the two screens.
Mm-hmm.
Self-completing map screen, a default run option, new control schemes, a monster battling arena, and two new areas and a new ending, which foreshadowed the sequel, Chrono Cross.
You know, that's something I have no familiarity with whatsoever is Chrono Cross. I never...
me either.
You know, when stuff is like a spiritual successor and things like that, then it just means it's not what I want. In some cases, you don't want to just make more Chrono Trigger, but I think in this case, people would rather have more Chrono Trigger. And I don't know, maybe there's Chrono Cross fans out there. I don't know. I haven't played it, so I can't.
I remember our friend Greg Oleksinski had the game, and I remember when it came out, and I was like, I don't understand what any of this is, who any of these people are. I was only familiar with Chrono Trigger, so. Why, like you said, why? I was a dumb kid. Why would I want something I don't know? This isn't Chrono Trigger.
It had the pendulum, right? the pendulum involved in the logo or in the title screen.
Different looking one. Yeah, same feeling. But I know nothing about that game either, actually. So might have to check that out after this. Then you got the mobile iOS and Android ports, which came out in 2011 and 2012, respectively. And that is based on the DS version. Plus, the graphics apparently were optimized for iOS. I don't know what that means, but probably clarity and
probably
screen size.
Clarity and resolution and pixel count, I'm sure.
Then you have the Windows Steam version that came out in 2018.
Much hated.
Yes.
When it was released.
We also have I have a note on that, which this is based on the mobile version. Plus,
where all the problems came.
Plus, adds mouse and keyboard support, autosave features, and you got some like wallpapers and music or whatever.
It was just kind of broken at launch.
Well, I have this note elsewhere, but I'll just bring it up now. The 2018 port was critically panned. Problems at the time of release include tiling errors on textures, addition of aesthetically intrusive sprite filters, unattractive GUI from the mobile release, lack of graphics options because it's PC and we got to be able to put it on 4K. Yeah.
I think it's the fact that they didn't, it shows that by like having UI pieces that are direct from the mobile, they didn't take the time and attention to change. It just makes it feel like it was kind of rushed and just like here, we're just going to put this out because people are going to buy it.
Yeah, Yeah, it feels like a cash grab. Inability to remap controls, and it has since been patched since the time of release.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Well,
there you go. So
a version for everyone, almost.
Right. And, of course, there's a version, you know, you can play it on the Wii U. There's that, the Virtual Console version there. I don't know if it was ever available on one. I don't think it's on. No, the Super Nintendo was very limited on what games were available through the Virtual Console 3DS. I'm assuming it's not has not been available there. And there's no other digital versions of this game that you can buy. Because that'd be nice if you could just buy it digitally on any of those platforms that it actually existed for. Like, if I could buy it on the 3DS somehow digitally or...
Yeah.
You can't. You can't do that. So.
Which, it's crazy because all the Final Fantasy games, I feel like they're everywhere. And then you see this and it's like...
I have a question. Remind me. I have a question related to this. I want to ask, but I don't think it fits well here. So okay. We'll get to it later on. So
relating
let's talk
to the Windows version?
Just versions of the game in general.
Okay.
So... Reception. Overall, critics lauded Chrono Trigger for its fantastic yet not overly complex story, innovative gameplay, and high replay value due to multiple endings. Score aggregator Game Rankings listed as the second highest scoring RPG and 24th highest ever reviewed. It is frequently listed among the greatest video games of all time, including in multiple lists from many websites such as IGN, Game Informer, GameSpot, and others. I do have to say when I posted on Twitter that I was playing this game, yes, my retweet was hit up by someone's account that's has a lot more following than me, so I got a lot of eyeballs on it, but I had many more likes on that tweet than usual. I had many people comment, love this game, it's my favorite game. So I know Matt Knight, Legion member of ours, it's his favorite game of all time. There's a lot of people I think that this game is one of their favorites of all time, so it's no surprise. Let's go full circle. What versions are we playing? Myself personally, as I talked about, as being an RPG, I wanted to have mobility and accessibility. So if I want to just grind and hop in and get back out quickly, I need a handheld to do that. Mm-hmm. So it stinks because it's the most expensive version, but I'm playing the Nintendo DS version on my 3DS, which I have to say, after playing this on the Super Nintendo, playing it via emulator, playing it on a phone, the DS version is really nice. The two screens and the tweaks they have are really cool to have.
Nice. Does the 3DS have the ability to put it in standby mode? I don't remember.
Yes. Oh, so I can nice just too. Close the lid and open it back up. So it's nice. I don't have to ever actually close out of the game if I want to.
Nice. Nice. I'm playing the Steam version, Windows version, basically. So... I mean, having started the game, I haven't really noticed any problems at all. So,
does it give you save states with that?
There's a bookmark feature. I'm not 100% sure what that is. And unless I'm missing some keyboard shortcut, I am not sure. I would assume so. But I'm guessing it's the bookmark feature and they just called it something else. I'm not 100% sure. But the only thing I've noticed... honestly, in playing this version, is that I have two options. There's the original version, which basically looks like a pixel-perfect version of an emulator, you know, with no filters or anything.
Yeah.
Hashtag no filter. And there's also a high-resolution version, which I have it on now, but as far as I can tell, it isn't...
What's the difference, really, when you're on with those kind of textures and graphics?
It's not like it's redrawn, you know. Right. They're not replacing them. It's some sort of filter, and based on, like, I've seen emulators that do filters better than this, like, what is it, like Super Eagle and 2K Psy or whatever. Those seem to look better to me than this.
I mean, when I've seen options like that with like Virtual Console games, I think what works best is when you do pixel perfect and it gives you the optimum pixel ratio for your screen format.
Yeah,
like that puts the game in a perspective that puts it like the pixel ratio, like native to what the display is. I don't know. Probably just describing that terribly, but it just looks cleaner.
Yeah, I was going to say it's much more crisp. This is very fuzzy. It kind of looks like, to me, it looks like when you take a really tiny image and try to blow it up. It gets really fuzzy.
Yeah.
And I
see that on the DS. I think that's because I'm playing the DS version on 3DS. So the text is almost a little fuzzy, but I think that's just the difference between the resolution differences between the DS screen and the 3DS.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it isn't a huge resolution, but then you also have a smaller screen. So,
and I did have my DS until recently. I Goodwilled it. You know, I was just sitting around here, and so I could have played it on the original hardware, but I'd rather play it on the 3DS. It's just nicer. Honestly, that's been a weird adjustment too. After getting so used to the Switch, and now dealing with the cramped real estate of the 3DS has been a little weird going back to that.
The 3DS is longer or square? What am I thinking of?
It's rectangular.
It's rectangular.
3DS, okay. 3DS is rectangular.
What am I thinking of that was more square and it flipped?
There was a maybe the Game Boy SP. Is that what you're thinking of? It's like a little more little square,
like
one,
silver.
And it flipped up.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I never had it. So.
I don't know my Game Boy handhelds like the back of my hands. Come at me, bros. But
well, we have two people playing along with us, at least right now. Grouchy Surge and Sir Zenith.
Yeah, Grouchy's playing it. He's attempting to play a DS version of the game, bootlegged on an R4 card. Lucas,
I had to look that up.
What is an R4 card?
From what I can tell, it's one of those 301 games in one, or possibly like sideload your own ROMs card.
Okay, and what is it? So he's playing it on. So it like what hardware is he playing on then? So you can like play that on the actual
DS.
Okay, so you can actually play that on the 3DS. Oh, okay, got it. I think what would be nice, like a fun way to play this, is if you had. I always thought about getting one of these from Newegg or ThinkGeek. Is a little handheld emulator. Players,
yeah, I've seen a lot of those,
and you can just load all the ROMs you want on there. I don't know what like they took as cards, but
yeah, there's a I know what you're talking about. There's a I'm sure there's plenty of YouTube channels, but there's one in particular, Metal Jesus, I think is what it's called.
Oh, yeah,
and he does a lot of emulation consoles and handhelds and stuff. So I also always get this damn YouTube video about Xbox, the original Xbox being the perfect emulation machine. And I've always like needed to watch it because I always see it. I'm like, I need to clear this out of here because apparently I really need to see this video.
According to RetroDodo.com, this is from 2019, the top five best handheld emulators you can have. Retro Game 350.
Okay.
The BitBoy Pocket Go V2. The Odroid Go Advance.
I've never heard of that.
The GKD 350H.
I've never heard of
that.
And
the Game Boy 1UP XL. So a bunch of different. So for
what about the Soulja Boy Game Station or whatever the hell?
You're interested? Like the Retro Game 350 is $80. So to give you an idea of like, you know, how it works.
When it comes to handheld, like that type of emulation, the screen. All I need to know, screen first, then controls. How does it feel in the hand?
Yeah, this thing, it can do PS1 even.
What?
Can do N64, but can do that. So that's kind of
cool.
Well,
that's because PlayStation 1 was better.
I mean, emulation, you know, it's a slippery slope when you're talking about copyright and piracy and this and that, but.
Let me stop you right there. What you're doing is illegal. Zenith is playing.
Are you Brian? Is that a PSVG meme you just dropped in here?
It was.
I'm stuck right there.
I love that. I don't even know what happened, but I love it. It's so funny. Yeah. Zenith, speaking of which, is emulating the DS version of the game. He says, I know, shady business over here. But you know
He's
what?
He's got the cart somewhere.
Hey, there you go. If you've ever owned it, you're in the clear.
Hey, I have to say, even though it was expensive, it came with the box and the manual, which is all
if
nice.
If you're
going to
do it.
Not a big collector.
If you're going to do it, go all in. I don't blame you for getting the box and stuff because really it's – to me it looked like not that much more of an expense. And so at least you know it's
been taken care of. If I don't want to keep the game, I can resell it, and I'm pretty sure we can get all the value back out of it.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. If you find the right person, you probably make money off of it. Make money. No, it's got to be under glass for her to buy it. Oh. So what was this – this is your reminder for – the versions thing that you were asking about.
Oh, so we already talked. You already talked about the 2004. Yes. Yeah, so I was curious, like, do you think this game, based on what we said here, based on Square's history now of re-releasing RPGs, we've had a Secret of Mana remake. We've got a Trials of Mana remake coming out.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think we would ever see, or should we see, a Chrono Trigger remake, remaster, have you will? Is this game too? Is this game untouchable? Like, you know, much like Mario 64. You know, you don't remake that.
Yeah.
Do we? Would you see like a complete remaster, revamped Chrono Trigger?
Personally, I would like to see it. I don't care. I feel like games are a little bit different than movies when it comes to rebooting or remaking, retooling. Obviously, everyone has a boner for a Final Fantasy VII remake. And to me, it just seems like they're just waiting to see how that works out. The question you're really asking is, do they feel like printing money? Yes or no? I mean, it's probably going to take a lot of money to remake the game right. But if they did, I would be very excited. I think it would be worth pursuing. The question is, do they just make it look better? Did they go one of those Final Fantasy routes where they just make it 3D? Or do
I'll look at Secret of Mana. They took a 2D sprite game and they gave it the 3D treatment. And the problem with that, it was like basically the same exact game, just with the 3D treatment, you know? And I think Trials of Mana looks really cool. And that's for me not playing the original yet, but that new version's coming out in just mere months. And that looks, I need to play the demo. There's a demo out on this eShop and, you know, I'm sure the other platforms as well, if you want to check it out.
I think I have a better answer. I'll have a better answer to that question when I finally beat the game.
After you play it. Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be nice to see it. Like, it's always cool to see people like remaster and touch it up and give you like the HD options. And then you can toggle, you know, between the original graphics and the events, like talking about like what they did for Secret of Monkey Island or Grim Fandango.
Yeah. Redoing the sprites and like almost making them hand drawn. Could you imagine if they were hand drawn in the style that the anime was in, but like left everything else the same?
Yeah. Because I feel like, you know, I don't want to reinvent the wheel here and give it like a third person camera behind, you know, behind
real time combat
characters. Yeah, I don't think you want to do that.
Look how long it's taking Final Fantasy VII Remake to come out, and now they chopped it into like eight pieces or whatever. So it's cool, but you know, it's kind of feels like you said reinventing the wheel, making it more difficult than it needed to be. Resident Evil 2, for me, best remake so far. You know, like they did it right.
Well,
so.
Yeah. I mean, they took the core and experience of what the original game was and updated it for modern gaming times.
Yes.
And it still has the like it still is the essence of what the original experience was. I think when it's done right by playing the game, it's like it's how you remember the game always
in your head. Yeah.
You know, that's like the game would always look like that in your memories. It didn't. But in your mind, in nostalgia land, it did.
With
you
your rose tinted glasses.
So
I agree.
I feel like the same way. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like the remake could like taint the original experience, perhaps. And like this game was just maybe its best experience in its original way. But to say that, you can give us those HD, redo the textures, redo the music. And then you can give us some modern gaming conveniences in how it's played, you know, and ability to like speed up combat, save states. Oh, I'm sorry, you don't beat the game if you save states. I forgot. Sorry about that. But you know, there's some ways like that you can enhance the experience, but then keep the core gameplay experience, you know, the same.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about. I touched on this a little bit. Why did we choose the game? Why did we choose this game? And what's our personal history with this game? I'm going to start. Let's kind of start with the listeners first before we go back to you. Grouchy, I have put less than an hour into the game in my entire life. I got up to when you get sucked into a portal and my game froze. I will attempt it one more time, and if it freezes again, I will buy a version off eBay or Amazon.
I'll go the Jason route.
I have never played the game before, but I've long listened to people talking about how it's supposed to be one of the best games of all time, and because of that, it was always on my radar. It is in my backlog just because it has been so heavily rated and recommended by so many people. One of my backlog goals is to play the so-called greatest games ever that I missed out on as a kid.
Nice. Good goal. I completely understand that.
Yes, absolutely.
Xena says, I've beaten the game at least two times prior. I used to watch my dad play when I was young, but never had the attention span for it. When I was in middle school, I finally beat the SNES version. And a few years later, man, I can't talk. I played the DS version and beat that. It's one of my favorite games to play, and I love picking it up every few years, even though I've only finished it two or three times previously. So it's kind of like totally rereading a book.
I get that comfort food aspect of it, and like I'll just jump in there. Like myself, I'm retreading here. I didn't own a Super Nintendo, so I never played. I never had a chance to play this game.
Same here.
I grew up in that era, though, so I got all the marketing for that game. You know, Game Informer, Game Players magazines always had nice page spreads for Chrono Trigger, so I'm very aware of what it was. But you know, I never experienced RPG, let alone a JRPG, and I guess I should say a JRPG, let alone an RPG, until the PlayStation. My first RPG that I ever played myself was Wild Arms in preparation as I waited for the release of Final Fantasy VII. But I was very familiar with RPGs. I had a good friend in middle school, had a Super Nintendo. I'd always go to his house, and he had all the staples. He had Secret of Mana, Secret of Evermore, Final Fantasy III, Chrono Trigger, you name it, for Super Nintendo, he had it. And I watched him play this game a lot. You know, back in that time, it was always like, you know, when you have the ability to rename the characters, you'd put them as you and your friends and your girlfriends and all that.
Yep.
You get that personalization in the playthrough. I'm a purist now. I don't do that. But
same here. I was going to ask that.
It was just, you know, it was really cool to see. And, you know, he would show me like all the, you know, this game has 12 different endings? I'm paraphrasing here. I can't remember. It has multiple endings. He showed me a bunch of them, and I was just like, wow, that's awesome. But I never, to this day, I've started it playthroughs many times. I've gotten all the way to the end, but I've never actually rolled credits on Chrono Trigger myself from start to finish. And that I figure like now is the time to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically the exact same boat. I've started this game many, many times, tried to beat it at least once or twice, and effed it up somehow, and then just never went back to it. My awareness, like you said, gaming magazines and everything, it's just one of those things that you keep hearing people say that you is on your like top 100 games to play or beat or whatever. So I just, to me, it's just time that we put it to rest. Kind of like The Dig for me, you know, another one of those games where you're
Black
just like,
Mesa.
I need, dude, yeah, you know? The Black Mesa, basically anything at this point, anything from my childhood, I will play it again and beat it. So I can say that I finally did beat it. Cause I had a bad, I had a bad habit of not beating anything. So,
except
it's going to help.
It's nice to like have a driving factor besides just your own personal, but it's cool to experience with other people. It's nice for you and I to do it together and have talking points about it. I think that adds some flavoring.
It makes me understand why people do book clubs. Like I've never done a book club, but I can understand the idea and the drive behind
it. It's something cool about taking cool experiences and then sharing them with other people or getting a multiplayer experience out of something that's strictly a single player. Like, you know, like, unrelated, but Donnie and I, like one of my greatest PSVG multiplayer gaming experiences was both him and I playing the Trials of the Sword DLC and Breath of the Wild together separately. You know, we were both playing it, but we were on Discord talking and getting frustrated and sharing advice,
like,
you know?
That. Yeah.
That's just really cool. And so it's fun to do something like that with this. Expectations, hopes, dreams, fears brought up through the playthrough. Grouchy, I hope that this game lives up to the hype. I'm looking forward to a nice, fun RPG, which I don't have to spend 80 hours on. I believe How Long to Beat puts this in right at, what did I say, like right around 30, roughly?
I thought it was like 20 to 30.
20 to, I mean, it all depends on your, you know, effort level and how much you go in there, but probably like 25, 30 hours was ballpark looking at. Okay. My fear is that I'm going to not get the hype and the game story won't drag me in as it has done with others. Myself, personally, I want to finish it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I have any fears. I guess my fear would be I just didn't have the time to finish it, but I think it's going to be possible, you know? It might just take some time, but I think I think it's doable. Based on my first hour with this game already and how I felt during that, I don't think I have anything else to worry about.
Cool. Zenith says, I'd like to get at least two endings this playthrough. So sounds like he's planning on beating it twice. I don't know if there's a point that you can just load from and have it
trying to get another ending.
Yeah, start to divert from there.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's like, is there one true ending or the good ending? And then there's, you know, I'm interested in what endings each of us get.
Like what the canon is. Yeah, that's going to be cool too. He says, I always play the full, complete, happy ending. So I guess whatever, maybe that is considered canon. I'd like to attempt at least one additional ending this time, though I haven't decided which one personally, beyond hoping to beat it, obviously, which we will do. I am kind of afraid that I won't think that it's all that. You know, I am afraid that we'll get halfway through and I'll be dragging my feet to finish it. I mean, that kind of happened with Black Mesa. For as much as I enjoyed it, it was time to be done at a certain point, and you're just like, oh, come on. So, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm not afraid of that necessarily than just remembering something that really doesn't live up to my memory of it, I guess. Yeah.
Just to give you a crash course here. So the DS version apparently lists out all the endings, and then I think you must be able to replay them.
Okay.
So there's a bad ending, which is if you die and lose, it gives you an ending. It's a bad ending to the game. All the endings are based on, well, I don't want to give that away. I already know that, so I don't want to give that
maybe
away.
Maybe we'll talk about that in like before we finish, but
yeah,
in the like story.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a bad ending. There's ending one, and then ending one has A through E.
Oh, so they break it down that way.
And then ending two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13 possible endings to the game. That 13, ending 13 is exclusive to the DS, iOS, Android, and Windows. So that's one of the newer ones. But
nice. Nice.
And there you go.
There you go.
Did I let you get through all Zenith's points, or did I interrupt you in there somewhere?
Yeah, no, you that was everything. We are good. I think we're
so
good
to go
to talk about.
That's all our background and everything. Now, it wasn't planned this way, but like, I had to put the card in, test it, make sure my eBay purchase was valid, and we just kind of jumped right in already. Usually this first episode, we would just kind of intro the game and talk about it. We actually did spend some time this previous week actually playing the game. I think we all put roughly an hour to kind of get through the first scenario, what have you, of the game.
Yes.
So I don't here's where I struggle. It's like, how in depth do we want to get with these? I mean, you get like, you know,
yeah,
I don't know.
We've
bombarded listeners with a lot of stuff, information.
So yeah, I have these talking points down here just for clarification here, and I do not plan on breaking down all of these moments beyond mentioning them. So when we talk about this, I think in my head, I wanted it to be more structured than just off the cuff, but not like, and then here's story point A and here's story, you know, beat three. And this is what I felt about this and whatnot. But, for the video listeners, I actually have a little treat. There's not going to be any audio, or maybe I'll put it real low in the background, but just a little bit of gameplay in the background to kind of set the mood for you guys and see what we're talking about if you're not familiar with
Chrono Trigger. I like, first of all, you know, Chrono Trigger opens with that iconic, you get the pendulum swinging noise and everything, and how cool that, like, the graphic looked on the Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah, at the time.
Like, how the animated works, but you get that tropey RPG main character wakes up in his bed. He's got to go off and do something. He's got spiky hair, you know, all those things. But like the whole Millennium Fair sequence is like that, like really great. Wow, look how much better that text looks.
The bell that chimes, and it just has that noise that as soon as you hear it, you're like, I've heard this like 300 times, but I still love it every time I hear it.
So I can see like this version of what they did. They kind of like smooth. They get that weird like smoothing of the pixels. You don't get the pixels. You get like that weird smooth blending.
Yes. It's kind of like Nearest Neighbor.
It looks kind of right on some of the characters, but I feel like it makes the backgrounds look a little muddy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is,
I don't know. I'm not sure how they're playing this in here. If it's, you know, emulated or what.
Or what it is.
Because mine doesn't look... Oh, it must be the mobile version. because I just saw. Interesting. I'll have to look at mine because it does not look that clear.
It's definitely mobile because there was like a digital thumbstick on there.
Yeah.
Like the DS version has some like cool shortcuts too, and how you get through menus, and you can play the game with the stylus. I might actually try that. So
that's cool.
You know, the Millennial Fair is like that great intro sequence in RPG. If you've played Wild Arms, they've pretty much ripped that off completely in their game with like their first little fair sequence. It's almost it looks visually the same, but just like the music, you know, the music, and you've got like these cool, like these fun little like mini game things you can do and mess around with.
You learn about the history of the town a little bit.
History of the town. You can get a little bit of a story on him. You know, his best friend or a good friend, Luca, is an inventor and builder. And then he runs in. Now here's my question for you.
Yeah.
And how do you pronounce it? Because I actually looked up, I always pronounce it a certain way, and then I actually did some YouTube research to see about pronunciations.
Of the
I heard someone,
name?
I watched a stream and I heard some pronunciations as well. But you run into the princess.
Marl.
That's how I always pronounced it too. And I've heard some people would say Marley with that.
Well, it's not a dog. Marley and me.
I went out of someone that actually is like fluent in Japanese and went back into the original pronunciations of the Japanese character names and then how that would translate over. And
so am I right or wrong?
That's you're right.
Oh, okay, good.
How the developers,
I mean, I think it's a terrible name. Marl,
it's not a good name.
It's like
it's
Carl with an M.
It's not a track, you know, but that's like her nickname, right? Because her princess, wasn't it like her name
princess
was like
Nadia?
Princess Nadia or something like that. So I you know, that whole sequence is interesting. But like I just remember the first time I saw that, the way the time travel aspect happens.
Yeah.
And how the machine, that's just like a cool, I like the, I always like the mashup that this game has of like old and new. You know, we've got this very medieval fantasy setting, but then we have like this steampunky future, retro futurism. Well, not, I shouldn't say retro futurism, but this, like this futuristic technology that exists.
Yeah, like the world is retro and the tech is futuristic, as opposed to the world being retro and the the other way around.
Right, the world being future and the tech being
retro.
Kind of like
something.
What we see with like the Alien.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was just going to say.
Series, you know, it's very, very futuristic, but
all the tech looks really old and sounds like a floppy drive.
and that's just a cool setup. And, you know, we've got this device that's going to transport, but then she gets into it, her pendant, like something happens.
You get a little bit of like a you kind of see the pendant glow or something. So you don't know if you don't know the story, but it does a good job of like showing you something is going wrong.
And you get some sweet, only what the power of the Super Nintendo can give us, some sweet time travel, wavy, whale sounds and everything. But it's a cool premise that like it opens up a wormhole and she's transported back to 600 AD, which we get to see the same kingdom of Guardia, but now it's, I don't remember how many hundreds of years before. 400?
I don't remember what
the present day.
Isn't it 1200 AD or something like that? Here, I'll look it up really quick.
So you get to see this difference. So you get to go to the same areas, but it's in the past, and it's kind of cool how...
I mean, for a Super Nintendo at the time, like, blows your mind.
It's a cool idea. I think it's still, it's the whole time travel aspect is really...
1000
cool
AD.
Touch.
So you were right, 400.
Okay, 400 years. Okay. Pretty cool. And, you know, you got to set up now is, you know, she's mistaken as the queen of Queen Lyn.
In 600 AD.
In 600 AD, and you've got a... And there's a whole kidnapping and everything.
There's a whole, it's a whole Back to the Future premise thing going on.
Yeah, it really is.
The mom.
How do you like the combat? And there, do you like how it, you know, you don't have any transitions into a battle sequence?
I do.
And it has, what is it, active time combat? So everything.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, you can choose weight if you want to, but I didn't because I feel
I didn't
that's...
do weight either. I like to have that, like, that pressure of having to, like, go through the menus and make your decisions, and you can't just sit there and wait to make your actions.
And at the time, it felt a lot different than, you know, Final Fantasy, where you're just sitting there forever. All the time in the world to pick what you're doing.
You don't have a defend option, right?
I don't think so. You have attack,
technique, and items, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and escape. So it's cool, like how, you know, you have each character has different techniques, and then you have combo techniques that you can learn and use for different damage.
And then, like, your characters, depending on who you use together, will learn things together, like different techniques that both characters have to be in the party to use.
I always I don't want to say min-maxing, but I always like when I play an RPG and it's like, okay, I know Chrono is going to like one-shot this enemy, and I know this character, this enemy is going to get a turn before this. I'm going to kill this enemy because he's going to die before he gets to use his turn again.
That's what I like about like the XCOM games, like the same principles, but given to you in a different way, I guess.
Yeah. And I like what this game does is like, yeah, we're seeing basic, just basic enemies, and we'll talk about it when we get to talk about the boss. But I like how it employs different. You know, it's not just this enemy is weak to this element or this that. There's actual strategy in terms of timing, and there's different like characteristics to the battles that you have to consider. Like,
there's even like spatial characteristics where you can use a technique and it'll only hit so many people, and they move on the battlefield, so you might not
characters
be able
move
to get them.
So you can wait for an enemy to clump up, and you can use an AOE and do more damage. It's just like opportunities for things like that to do. Luca just shows up. You know, she
that never was explained. How does she get there? She doesn't have a necklace. Does
she dial
in the time?
They kind of explain it when you exit. So I can only you know.
I don't remember
that part
clearly. Then
okay, so. When I'll jump ahead here, when you leave 600 AD, it's revealed that she has a gate key is what she calls it.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So it's
you
basically
can open
like the same technology of the pendant. She can like use that to like, so these gates are always there. They're just dormant, and this key allows you to access them.
Wow. They're like sliders.
We've come too far. Whoa.
God.
Keanu.
I knew exactly what it was, and I appreciated it. Yeah, she's cool. Luca, she's great.
Did you? Now, I have to ask. So you're very limited where you can go in 600 AD. You've got the castle. You've got the town. There's a bridge that's being built.
Broken. Yeah, it was broken.
But you can travel in 1000 AD. It's broken in 600 AD. You can go to. Did you go to the cathedral before you had to go to the cathedral?
Yes, I did. Well, I did this time, but that's only because I knew I had to go there. I just couldn't remember.
Isn't it creepy, the dialogue options, though, from those nuns there? And you're like, what the hell? This is like...
Yeah, I remember the first time, like, seeing that, because you get... And what's weird is, like, you don't really know to go there unless you talk to a guy in a bar. And he says, I thought something was going on with the people in the cathedral, but apparently nothing... Apparently they found Queen Lean, which is her name there.
Yeah.
Which is actually Princess Nadia.
I guess I should mention that the whole reason you're trying to rescue the queen now is because, much like Back to the Future, Marl disappears, ceases to exist because they think she's the queen, so they never go to rescue the real queen that has been kidnapped.
Yeah, who's actually missing in this timeline.
And so if the queen's never rescued, she can't have her prodigy, which allows Princess Nadia to be born. You have to go rescue the queen to bring her back.
It's true. We saw that's the Back to the Future timeline thing going on. We saw some of the prehistoric dancing. I've actually been caught there. Like, I couldn't escape the dancing.
Oh, it happened to me too. And you get stuck there.
Tom Servo says prehistoric dancing lady can get it.
Did you steal the man's lunch in the Millennium?
No,
Fair?
Because I was metagaming and I know what comes up later.
I accidentally did. I didn't intend to.
I've done it before.
I've had multiple outcomes with what you're referencing.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what happens this time. And I like the whole cathedral sequence. You know, I went there, and I just, this game employs it a lot. Is like, you know, randomly searching through the background for items and things like that. And
yeah,
how would you have triggered the organ if to open that secret door? I feel like that was something that'd be a really sticking point for players because it's not obvious.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah, you'd have to come, like, you just have to know to, well, see,
and
the thing is.
And I don't know how I remember to do that.
Well, I was going to say, the thing, too, is back then, I think the idea of, like, trying to use things that were in the scenery was a little bit more.
I feel like it's foreign at this still, right? It wasn't really, like, widespread, right?
Yeah, because you couldn't tell. Like, you couldn't tell what you could use and what you can, like, nowadays, they highlight things or whatever. But here, it just, you know. Walk around the edges of the room and press A until something happens, basically.
Right.
Or go around and talk to people. Like I said, that guy in the bar. Like, I just knew where to go. I'm sure at some point I'm not going to know. And it'll be interesting when I have to rely on the actual stuff in the game to tell me where to go.
Yeah, I always love this. We're getting into in the video animations where Chrono first tries the machine. I love the hammer animation
to get it to work.
Yes,
that's great. Tobal, I can't remember his name.
You go through the cathedral. You've got a host of regular enemies. You get to our first boss.
You find out they're all pretending to be human.
Yeah, they're all these weird little monsters.
Snakes,
that are pretending to be
gargoyles.
Yeah,
weird. The things that remind me of the shelled enemies that are only in the underground levels of Mario games.
Oh yeah,
but like they come to life.
Yes.
Some of those. And I will say I stopped right before the boss fight, so I haven't got there yet.
Oh, you haven't fought the boss yet?
No, I meant to, but
kind of a spoiler here for you to how to like finish it. And I kind of had the same realization I think that Zenith had, and I'll just go right in with this comment.
Okay.
Yakra, the first real boss, will counterattack every time you attack if you're close enough to him. Oh. And so if you pay attention to the tooltips while you're fighting him, it'll say you're too close to counterattack. So then you're like, okay, I need to attack him when he's close. And I think when I've played this game before, I would just haphazardly just
keep pressing A. Why is this?
Doing my most powerful attacks as much as possible and deal with it. But this time I was actually, okay, I'm actually using the timing, waiting for him to be positioned close enough to a certain character, then do an attack. And I still felt like I burned through a ton of potions during this fight. Mm. And I felt like I was adequately like level for it, but it was still like, it was a challenge, but a challenge that was easy to overcome, but enough to where it still felt rewarding when
it wasn't a tin can boss where you just meant to blow
going
away.
And then to jump back to comparison it with Secret of Mana, like the boss fights aren't really that, they're kind of let down. It's pretty much just chain your magic and kill things. Like
just
physical attacks
a
don't do a lot
until they die.
Yeah. So this, again, it feels nice to have these other elements to the battle. Like this is the positioning and timing makes a difference. So going back to Xenia, growing up, I would start the game and get bodied by Yakra until I did enough grinding to beat him. So he would just get, he didn't, you know, as a younger, he didn't pick up on that. And so he would just grind and get
power
level.
I bet I had the same problem.
And get OP for the boss and then just be able to steamroll him because he's leveled up. This time, by timing my attacks appropriately, it was much easier to beat him. So, Lucas, nice. I expect you to one-shot Yakra because you know all the techniques now to properly
I'm going
to
be level 99 by the time I get to Yakra.
I wish I could stream this game. That's one disappointing thing about playing on the 3DS. But if and when I move, I want to be able to stream it anyway. So
that's
I guess
true.
It really doesn't
You don't want to put down that expectation and then not be able to.
Right. Exactly. So I have defeated Yakra. Oh, so I kind of, that's why you're really the keys, because so I've defeated Yakra and I've returned back to 1000 AD.
Ah, and, okay.
And coolest character by far, was always my favorite character in the game, Frog. We didn't talk about Frog.
Oh, hell yeah.
I love Frog. Except his color palette and the way he flexes, it always looks like, to me, he always looks like he's
like
wearing the Earthworm Jim power suit.
Yeah. And his muscle is huge.
Yeah. It's huge. And I love his jumping running animations, like the weird hop.
I always liked his swords better than Chrono's too, because
he uses the Masamune.
Yeah, he's got the big bastard swords and two-handers and stuff.
Yeah,
and
Chrono has more of like
katanas.
A katana. Yeah, he uses more like traditional blades. I don't remember. And Magus uses a scythe, right? So
yeah,
Magus was a cool character too. But
we'll
I always like
that.
I was always partial to Frog, personally.
Frog is pretty cool. Plus, he's got a sympathetic storyline.
Yeah.
For his character. Yeah. So, but we'll talk about more of that.
Yeah.
Another episode.
So, and it's cool. Like, I like how they, you know, you get to have some characters and have them in your party and then they're gone. And then you're like, at the time, you're like, oh, that was cool. Is he going to join the party again? I don't know. Hopefully he does. Oh, the box art said he does. So yeah, I guess he
does. Right.
So, yeah, man. I like it was really cool to jump back into it. I'm looking forward to, like I said, cleaning my palette with Secret of Mana so I can just devote more time to playing this on the regular.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
It's a great game. It's a great game so far.
We had a couple of our last two, basically our entries into our other two people who are playing. Do you want to take Grouchy's and I'll do Zenith?
Where am I?
At the top. Where am I saying? Like you right under the heading right here. We haven't read these right here yet.
Oh no! Yeah, did we?
We haven't read this one.
Oh, okay. Gosh, yeah, we did. Discussed in the beginning of the game how far left. Wow, sorry, I totally missed that one.
That's okay. I mean, I didn't know whether to put them first or last, so it really
sure.
doesn't matter.
So
if you ain't first, you're last.
Sharing our listeners' experience, well, Grouchy, because my game froze, I'm on the start screen.
Aww.
Tonight, I'll give another playthrough to the portal and see if I can keep going from there. If not, I'll have to play extreme catch up. What will grab me more, Animal Crossing or Chrono Trigger? I can't wait to play and be part of the conversation 25 years later. Damn, man. I'm sorry to hear that your game froze again. I
wonder if there's other games on that card that are also having problems.
Yeah. So then it's like, is it a problem with the ROM or is it a problem with the actual cart itself?
Yeah. Bummer. Xena says, I've been loving the music, characters, and battles. I'm always surprised how few and far between the save points are, but I appreciate the challenge / stress that can bring. I'm also glad that the game is fairly fast-paced for an RPG. I never feel like I'm waiting for something or wasting time. I think that's it for now, but I'm excited to hear your thoughts as well. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I will say there's something nice about just a straightforward game in general.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree about that. When I was playing it, I was like, holy cow, I forget you can like save anywhere on the overworld, but
I
haven't saved in a long time. And then typically, you know, like when you do save, it's like before something pivotal.
Yeah,
like,
before
you know,
the
you're
boss.
Always gonna get that save point before a boss.
I didn't save until until I got to the cathedral. So
I can't echo enough about the music though. I just
yes. we're gonna definitely devote the beginning of one of the episodes to the music. Probably the next one.
Like, I didn't think it was so much of it I enjoyed, but I really did. That's interesting, you know, going back on whatever version of this game it's playing.
It's definitely mobile.
Well, look, it's got RB, right bumper, left bumper, then it's got C.
Oh.
So I think this is an early version
of the Steam version?
Yeah.
Pre-patch? Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you're right. That's probably why it doesn't look the same.
They're playing with a controller, but it's weird that it has a mix of keyboard and controller. I don't know. And also that Chrono model looks so derpy when he's walking around on the overworld. He's like too skinny and like too tall.
I didn't see him. I want to see
maybe he'll come back up before.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to putting some real time into the game. Like I've said, oh yeah, you're right. Wow. Especially when he's standing forward.
Yeah.
I've done this beginning part so many times. I think I said that about Half-Life 2. And once we get past the stuff I remember is like really where I'm looking to dig into.
Yeah, like the whole, like the first, like through this part, going to the prehistoric era, going to the first time you go into the future, like those things I've done too many times. And so it'll be nice to get further into parts where you haven't. And I guess my one fear is that if I'm going to get to a part where it's just like, I'm going to have to get grindy with it, which I feel like almost always happens in RPGs, but I'm just going to have to like mindlessly level up for a while, which is nice again, playing on handheld. Cause then I can just throw something on the TV and I can not really pay attention to the game and just go through levels levels.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
You're talking to the guy that grinded all of his characters in Final Fantasy VII to level 99 and maxed out all my materials.
On the first disc.
I wanted to kill that giant. What's the Midgar serpent thing? I don't remember what it's called. That giant snake. I wanted to kill that.
Ouroboros?
I grinded up. So
I don't remember.
I can't remember. So
giant.
That's
snake
a different game.
Person man.
Yeah.
Snake right? man. That's what it was. Snake man.
I'm sticky.
Well, there you have it. I think that's everything. As
there
far
have
as
it, man. That is everything. That's our first jump into Chrono Trigger. What did we say? We'd probably do this bi-weekly moving forward.
Yeah, ish. I mean, I think that's kind of the plan. And if we had to, we could always push it out a week if something.
Yeah.
Like, say you're moving and you don't have enough time or something.
Yeah, it's tough because you want to be able to play it, but you don't want to just retread on misinformation or not have enough to like talk about. You don't want to just talk about. It's nice that we can give you a little bit more on the game as well as our gameplay experiences, because you just don't want to hear us talk about playing the game, especially if you're not that interested or you don't have reference point. It's hard to kind of like translate that over.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree. So. It's one of the reasons we both were like, yeah, let's do a little extra talk about some of the aspects of the game. And I don't think every game or every episode is going to be as long as this one was, to not to say it's a long episode.
We did a bit of a deep dive and everything. So.
Yeah, I would probably expect these to be more like 45 minutes-ish. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to, like you said, it brings some legitimacy to know that when we do these games, we are going to finish them. It's like, it's real. It's official.
Yeah, right. So that is going to do it for this week's episode of Fluxbos. I hope you enjoyed this Flux to Play. You still got time if you want to jump in and play Chrono Trigger along with us.
Yeah, definitely.
We're just started, so plenty of time for you to catch up and get in on the conversation and just enjoy the experience with us, with Zenith, with Grouchy, with Skinny Matt if he joins us on the ride.
You don't have a reason not to, because it's available everywhere.
Who cares about new games? Play the old stuff with us.
That's right.
So with that, I want to say thank you to all of our patrons, but a special thanks to our arbiters of awesomeness, Josh Brown, Kyle Hyman, Tyler Ryland, Tom Servo, Matt Knight, and Zach Bradshaw. Our executives of excellence, Edward Callow, and please bow before the Crusaders of the Legion, Dan Anthony and Devin Tyus. We thank you all for your support. And if you want to join the Flux Legion on Patreon, please check out patreon.com/FluxToPose. Playing us out tonight, how fitting, we have an overclocked remix from Chrono Trigger.
It's new.
This past week.
It's like it was meant to be.
It was evaluated on March 18th. This is Dirty Secret by MV. It's the Secret of the Forest theme. From the game, of course, Chrono Trigger released 19. Did you say Chrono or Chrono? I kind of go back and forth.
Apparently. I was going to say, I've been just using it interchangeably.
Is it Mana or Mana? You know, you can do the same thing. Released in 1995 by Square on the Super Nintendo. Music by Nobuo Matsu, Noriko Matsude, and Yasunori Mitsuda. It's jazzy, it's mellow. There's a lot of great Chrono Trigger jazz. If you haven't listened to it, please check out, I can't think of the Chrono Trigger jazz arrangement. I played the entire album on one of my solo shows. So
I think it's Jazzy Jeff's Chrono Trigger Jamboree.
Okay, perfect. So we're gonna play this remix. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for joining us in the chat. We always appreciate your likes, your follows, your retweets. Just being here on this journey that Fluxbos has always been, through our ups, through our downs, through our emos, our mood swings, all of that. So
it's true.
Thank you so much. We will come back next week. What do we got next week? What are we doing? I don't even know what's on our schedule.
You had something written down. I think it's a what
we're
going to
be
playing?
A game that made us.
Oh, yeah. Is that game that made us. You're right.
It's back. We're going to talk a game that made us. And then the next week, well, then it'll be
just call us game historians.
Eventually, we'll get back to a Flux Flipos proper, get you some IRL and what you plan. That's going to do it. Thank you guys so much. We will see you next time. Letters on the Manjay.
Send nudes.